following sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
The sermon this morning is a continuation of a sermon series entitled Bless You, Experiencing God's Blessing in a Life Full of Challenge. We've noted that the central teaching of Jesus about blessing is to be found in the Beatitudes, the eight blessed are sayings with which Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount. Each Beatitude contains two phrases. The first describes a spiritual quality that leads to blessedness. The second describes the result of that spiritual quality. So Jesus would say, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be satisfied." Or, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." Our focus this morning is on the sixth beatitude, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." When the beatitude ends, "They shall see God," we know that we have arrived at the very core of the spiritual life. In fact, the theme of purity of heart plays a central role in the overall teaching of Jesus, as we will see this morning. Let's begin with a moment of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We just recently completed the presidential national convention season, thank heaven, and can now direct our attention to something more truly inspiring, the Summer Olympics. We have come to view presidential conventions with a degree of suspicion, perhaps this year more than usual. Conventions are places of bold pronouncements and dazzling promises, but we are concerned about what is really there beneath the show. This basic issue, the need to look past outward appearances to see what is truly there, is a major spiritual issue in the teaching of Jesus. In Jesus' day, people were very good at looking pious. Today, there's not much advantage in looking pious, unless you are a political candidate, in which case you want to have at least the appearance of having religion. But people today do want to have the appearance of being good, upstanding citizens. In Jesus' day, people made themselves look good by carefully following all sorts of Jewish laws about being ritually clean, laws about cleaning one's hands or one's dishes in a certain way, about wearing your garments in a certain way, about following all sorts of elaborate rules concerning the Sabbath. The people who were especially good at following these rules were part of the group called the Pharisees, and they looked especially righteous. But Jesus sharply critiqued the Pharisees, as he said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and of the plate, but inside you are full of greed and self-indulgence. You are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside look beautiful, but inside they are full of bones and all kinds of filth. So you also on the outside look righteous to others, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Jesus emphasized that it is what is on the inside, in the heart, that counts. As he said, "Out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, not eating with unwashed hands." It is this concern for what is on the inside that comes to the fore in the Beatitudes when Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." But what does it mean exactly to be pure in heart? Every winter we host the Farmers Market in Pearson Hall here at our church, and one of the vendors that I visit sells maple syrup from a local farm. Its bottles are labeled Pure Ohio Maple Syrup. The word pure means that there is nothing else mixed in. No additives, no extra sugar, no coloring, nothing else mixed in. This is the basic meaning of the Greek word translated in our passage as pure, the word katharos, from which we get the word catharsis, meaning a purging or purification. The word referred to something that was without any sort of taint or impurity, such as pure gold. So, what is a pure heart? In biblical times, the hands were a symbol for your actions. The heart was considered to be the seat of your will or your desires or intention. So, when the psalm says, "Who can ascend the mountain of the Lord? Those with clean hands and a pure heart." It is saying that in order to be in fellowship with God, in order to have blessedness, we need not only to have the right actions, but far more, our will, our heart, our desires need to be pure. This means that we have the right intention with nothing else mixed in. Precisely here, we encounter one of the major spiritual issues of life. We often have noble intentions with some less than noble intentions mixed in. People aspire to high office with a desire to do some good, but also with a desire for power and glory. People want to contribute to some good cause, but also want some acclaim and credit in the process. People want to give God glory, but also want God to give them some good things in return. This is what James was talking about in the passage we heard earlier when he spoke of our need for purity of heart and our human problem that so often we are double-minded. That is, our will, our desire, is a mixture of godly and less than godly or self-centered intentions. But impurity can really mess up something that was otherwise good. Chipotle, for example, was having great success in its restaurants selling burritos that were touted as being especially wholesome. But then some burritos became tainted. Impurity in what was otherwise good food derailed the company's whole trajectory of success. In a similar fashion, in our spiritual lives, even the best of intentions can be derailed when we do not have purity of heart. A prime example of that can be seen in what has been happening in recent months in relations between police officers and African Americans. Police officers go on the job with the very best, the most noble intention to protect the public safety. But what happens if, along with that intention, there is some racial prejudice mixed in? In the heat of a moment, some bad decisions can result. Or what happens if, in response, a protester desiring to uphold principles of social justice also harbors some deep feelings of hatred and rage toward police? We have seen some very bad actions as a result of that in recent weeks. On every side, the desire for justice is derailed when there is no purity of heart. Jesus described what purity of heart is when he talked about the greatest commandment and said that the greatest commandment is, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, mind, and strength. And as a result, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Rather than being double-minded, we are called to be single-minded, to direct our heart wholly to God, so that we are able to seek authentically to do God's will and to live out the love of God. But how do we come to such purity of heart. If there is anything that we can observe about ourselves, it is we do not have purity of heart. In our innermost being, we are flawed, and we can never manage to purify our hearts on our own. It is only by the grace of God that we can begin to come to purity of heart. So the psalmist looked to God, praying, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me." This yearning for the spiritual working of God within is ultimately answered in God's promise through the prophet Ezekiel, as God says, "A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you." It is a promise that is fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Christ gives us a new heart by bringing us forgiveness and renewal. The grace of Christ spiritually cleanses us from all that would soil our soul. And Christ gives us a new spirit by putting his Holy Spirit within us, so that we are enabled finally to direct our intentions rightly. So it is by opening ourselves to the working of Christ in faith that we can be brought to purity of heart. The Apostle Peter in the book of Acts spoke about this when he said that God, who knows the human heart, testified to people by giving them the Holy Spirit and in cleansing their hearts by faith. And the Apostle John encouraged his readers, saying, "All who hope in Christ become purified as he is pure." There's a story about a mother and her little 3-year-old daughter who were sitting side by side on a couch when suddenly the little girl put her head on her mother's chest and began to listen. "What are you doing?" asked the mother. "I'm listening for Jesus in your heart," came the reply. "Well," said the mother, "what do you hear?" The little girl said, "Sounds like he's making coffee to me." What is Jesus doing in your heart? The good news is that Christ not only calls us to have purity of heart, Christ enables us to have purity of heart as we open ourselves to how he would be at work today inside of us to cleanse our hearts and to guide us to fix our desires on the things of God's kingdom. As we receive the purifying grace of Christ, the result, Jesus says, is that we will see God. On one level, this could be understood as referring to the ultimate promise that one day, by God's grace, we will see the Lord in the glory of heaven. As the Apostle Paul put it, "Now we see dimly, but then face to face." But the statement, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," also refers to how we can come to see God in the here and now. Mother Teresa once said, "I see God in every human being." The love of Christ in her heart enabled her to see God in all the needy people around her. Right here, there is a key truth. The condition of our heart directly shapes what we will see in the world around us. People whose hearts are full of greed see only things in the world around them that they want to grasp. People whose hearts are full of anger and hate see only enemies in the world around them that they want to strike. People whose hearts are full of faith and love see children of God all around them and the wonders of God's hand revealed throughout the world. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When our hearts are directed by Christ, our eyes become opened to the glory of God and how God is leading us to share in his blessing today. Let us pray. O Lord, we give thanks that though our hearts by nature are impure, full of our sins and our struggles and our faults and failures, you come to us with grace. You are here to work inside of us, cleansing our hearts with forgiveness, working in us with renewal, lifting us up, empowering and inspiring us, enabling us to fix our vision upon you. Open our eyes, O Lord, that we might indeed see the wonders of your grace all around us, and lead us to be receptive to how your Spirit is here to work in our hearts and lives today. Let that loving Spirit, O Lord, flow in and through us, that we might be empowered to truly walk as your people and share in your purposes in our time. Empowered by your grace, O Lord, we do reach out to people around us who are in times of particular need. We lift up those who are sick. We pray for those who've been in and out of the hospital, Dick Abbott, Roger Stiller, Winnie Hickson, and Foster Ewing. We pray for those recuperating from surgeries, Becky Britton and Margie Miller. We lift up especially Jeremy and Rachel Nebelsick and their little son, Weston Dean, praying for your Spirit to be surrounding them and upholding them, O Lord, in your strength and your grace. We pray, Lord, for all persons in times of challenge and for people around the world who are struggling in some terrible situations, wrestling with conditions of violence. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would transform human hearts that we might more truly live, O Lord, in your ways. We thank you, O Lord, that we can join together in your church to grow together in faith and to reach out in mission to the world. We lift up this week especially our fellow United Methodists at the New Pittsburgh United Methodist Church. Inspire us as we would open our hearts afresh, O Lord, to your Spirit, that our hearts may be lifted to you in faith and praise, and we may share in the works of your kingdom and know your blessing today. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's notes from the pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.